Imagine how John must have felt writing the Gospel of John, writing 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And at 90 years of age, right before he dies, he gives us the book of Revelation. And the last time we met in Revelation chapter 17, we saw the false religion of the world that is coming, led by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Now in chapter 18, you have commercialism. In the last days, what's going to take place? As the Antichrist becomes powerful and begins to build a one world monetary system, one world government, one world military, and all these things that the Antichrist will do. How I thank God that the church will not be here. The church will be taken to heaven. But think of all the people that you know, that I know, including our children, including our loved ones, that maybe they don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and when the Lord comes, they're going to be left behind. And when they stay behind, when the Antichrist comes, they're going to really have problems. Because it's going to be a time where you have to make a decision, either to actually worship the Antichrist, give in to commercialism, into the world system that it will be established in that time, and you'll have to take the mark of the beast. No more money. No more credit cards. It will be done by a mark in your right hand or in your forehead. And then think of all the people that will take the mark of the beast, and they're going to be damned forever. And there will be hundreds, thousands, and maybe even millions of people that will not take the mark of the beast because their parents or grandparents, brothers or sisters, told him the truth, and yet they didn't believe, but now they believe it. Now they see it with their own eyes. That what mom and dad said was right, my brother, my sister said was true. And now coming to the realization that here I am in the tribulation period. And the Antichrist now is going to be ruling. And commercial Babylon now takes over the world. And God will take commercial Babylon and will begin to destroy it. Will begin to destroy it. This will be the second judgment on commercialism that the Lord brings about here. And you see, while the Antichrist is preparing his armies to attack Israel one more time, he's going to be ready to attack Israel. God judges and destroys the Antichrist and his commercial system. His very headquarters in Babylon is going to be destroyed. And the Bible tells us that when the Antichrist comes, he's either going to make his headquarters in Rome or in Babylon. Most people believe that it will be in Babylon. The place where not only Satan and these demons have ruled in the past. But think of each one of us here individually tonight, as we not only have given our lives and hearts to Jesus Christ, and knowing that one day we're going to be walking or driving or flying or sleeping, whatever we're doing, and the sound of the trumpet will blow. Nobody's going to hear it, only the church. And all of a sudden, in a twinkling of an eye, millions will disappear from the earth. Millions. And of course, the world will come up with a big lie. Maybe aliens came and invaded the world and they took all these people as captives. Who knows? But the Antichrist is going to be convincing. People are going to listen to him. People are going to accept him. It's like the scripture says, they rejected the truth, but they accept what? The lie. They accept the lie. I don't know how people can not only accept the truth, but why do they have to receive the lie constantly in their lives when they know that Satan's a liar? And here John must have felt weird because he had never gone into the future. And here in chapter 6 through 18, before we get to chapter 19, John begins to write of the last 7 years of world history. And here in chapter 18, we're coming to the end of the 7 years, where God now destroys all of the music of the world. Did you know that music has infected all of our young people in the world? Music's a great thing in the world. They sell millions and billions of dollars in music. As there's so many artists that not only, you know, come up with songs. But the songs have become dirty. The songs have become filthy. If you go back to the 1950s and 40s, you know, it wasn't like that. And in the 60s, it began with the Beatles. And then with the Rolling Stones. And then the other groups that came about into the 80s and 90s when it really got filthy. Really filthy, the lyrics. And look at today. In the internet, how kids are getting brainwashed. They can sit there at night while their parents are sleeping in their phones and watch whatever they want to watch. When I'm driving down the street, I go by a school. It's so sad as kids are coming into the school. They don't even communicate anymore. They don't even look up. All they do is like this. They don't even know how to communicate. They don't even know how to work. They don't even know how to play. What's going to happen in the next 10 years, 15 years to America and to the world because of technology? Technology is great. But technology also is evil. It's destroying so many people. Because the world uses it for evil. Thank God for the church. We use it to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to be able to have commentaries online that we can look at when we're traveling to study the Word of God. Because we don't take our library with us. And there's a lot of great things that technology has given to each one of us. Look at the weapons of destruction that we have today with Russia, the Soviet Union, with China, Iraq, Iran. But one day, very soon, somebody will push the button. Somebody will push the button. And the Bible says that the first thing that happens when somebody pushes the button, 1/3 of the world population dies. 1/3 of the population of the earth will die. And when I think of the church still here, I thank God because the Holy Spirit is the one that is living among the church. And the Holy Spirit within the church is holding back the Antichrist. The Antichrist cannot appear and make his appearance until the church is taken out of the way, according to Paul. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18, the rapture. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 11, he tells you exactly what's going to take place. The Holy Spirit in the world. Look at John starts now in chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things, remember religious Babylon, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. So first of all, we see the angel coming from heaven, describing the doom that is stored, notice, for the beast and the harlot. Who's the harlot? Babylon, the whore. Many believe that also Rome can become the whore because it's seated upon 7 hills. Somehow, the Catholic Church and Islam and maybe even Protestantism are going to be joined together in the last days. And they'll become the apostate church. And that's why we have to keep not only an ear open, we have to keep our eyes open. Because if this angel from heaven is going to be carrying, notice, not good news, he's going to be carrying the news of judgment. God's going to judge. And the judgment will come from heaven. And great authority will be given. And authority here refers to the judgment that will follow after God gives orders to this angel to come. and begin to destroy and begin to judge. Notice what he says in verse 2. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It is fallen. And has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Did you know that right now, at this particular moment for years, in the Euphrates River, there are demons locked up in the Euphrates River for the tribulation period, and they're locked up, and they're going to be let loose in the tribulation period. I talked to military guys when Iraq was the place where we were fighting, and they felt the oppression of evil in Babylon. They felt it. And the reason is because not only Satan, but his demons. Think of the deception that Satan and his demons have brought upon the world. In Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 through 12, remember what he says? He says, I saw Satan like lightning falling. When Satan was actually kicked out of heaven, one third of the angels followed him. Followed him. And they became the demons. And by the way, Satan doesn't have horns, long tail, and a pitchfork. It's a beautiful, beautiful cherubim. Beautiful. Beautiful cherubim. Michael and Gabriel were cherubims too. And somehow Satan, when he decided to have the five I wills, I will be greater than God, I will exalt my throne above God's throne, and I will be God, is when God said, enough is enough, you're a created being, and he kicked him out of heaven. And ever since Satan has been kicked out of heaven, his time is short. And he knows it. So what is he doing? He's trying to deceive the world, which already he has deceived the world. Who are the first people that God deceived? Our parents, Adam and Eve. They were deceived in the Garden of Eden. When Adam was somewhere, we don't know where he was at, but the serpent saw an opportunity to come to the weaker vessel, Eve, the woman, and tempted her, and she gave in, and she gave to her husband, and both of their eyes were open, and they fell spiritually, and they were kicked out of the garden, fallen into sin. And I think of how Satan has come suddenly into people's lives. And he brings lies to them, and they believe the lies. I really don't understand, because maybe I've been out of the world too long. But I can understand that I was in the world, I was lost in the world, and now that I've come to Christ, it hurts me and it blows my mind that people are so stubborn, and they know that they're going to go to hell, and they still will not come to Jesus. They will not come. How Satan deceives them and blinds them and makes them deaf to the truth. And every one of us, we were in that place, every one of us at one time. And then the world looks at the church today, and the world doesn't see that there's power in the church as there was power in the book of Acts chapter 2 when the church was first baptized by the Holy Spirit. And the power that the church had in the first 30 years, the power. When you get to the book of Acts chapter 19, when Paul goes there, and he sees these 12 men, they're disciples of John the Baptist. And Paul's asking them, hey, have you guys ever heard of the Holy Spirit? They said, nope. All we've had is the teaching of John the Baptist. And Paul begins to expound to them about the power and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he lays hands on them, and they're baptized with the Holy Spirit. From chapter 19 all the way through Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then you go all the way to the last book of John, and then Jude, and then the book of Revelation. When you come to chapter 2, which we already studied, the church of Ephesus, from Acts 19 to Revelation chapter 2, 30 years later, Jesus is saying to the church, what? You've left your first love. You've fallen out of love with me. Repent. If you don't return to me, then I will move myself out. And look at the church today. And I'm not just talking about us. But think of the church today, those that don't come to Bible study, those that have left the church because, you know, they don't want to be Christians anymore. They've been tempted. They've been drawn away by Satan. And that's why we daily have to be in the Word of God. Daily we have to be on our knees, in our faces to the floor, asking God to protect us and our families. Everything begins with prayer and everything finishes with prayer. Everything. Because prayer brings us into the throne of God. Prayer brings me to the presence of God. As I worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I spend time with God in prayer. Then when I open the Bible, the Word of God begins to prick my heart and bring conviction to my heart. But also it feeds my spirit. And I grow and develop spiritually. That's how you stay away from carnality. To be a carnal Christian is to be immature and not mature. And not to understand the things of God that He's speaking to each one of us individually. In John the Beloved here, as he's writing, he says concerning this whole situation, he's like, cry mightily with a loud voice saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So here we see that God settles His scores. Babylon's long history of standing against Israel now is judged. Anybody that comes against Israel will be judged. Even though Israel today doesn't even believe in God. This is the reason that God is going to allow the Antichrist to come. The Antichrist will persecute Israel. And in the tribulation period, when 144,000, Jews will be on the earth, and they're all virgins. Notice 12,000 from each tribe. They will be the ones that will be able to preach the gospel, and through the gospel, many will be able to be saved. And then the Antichrist will be judged at the end, just like you see here. This will happen at the end of the Great Tribulation. Remember, 7 years at the end, right before the second coming of Christ, here is coming to an end. And notice that the strong voice here is characteristic of what? The heavenly utterance, the utterance that we hear is God is speaking and He sends His angels. And yet the destruction of commercial Babylon will come to an end at the end of the last 7 years of world history, before the Battle of Armageddon. Everything goes bankrupt. Everything. All your savings, that are those people that are here, their savings, every penny that they have, especially the mark of the beast, they'll still have bank accounts. Think how they have nothing. Everything is going to go down the tubes. You'll see in a moment. The ships that came to Babylon and brought the merchandise, they're going to stand back and see Babylon fully destroyed, and they're weeping and crying. Because all their commercials, all their investments are burned. And they have nothing. Nothing to show for it. Isaiah the prophet says this in chapter 13:21. He says, but the wild beast of the desert will lie there, Babylon. And their houses will be full of owls, ostriches, and dwell there. And wild goats and caper there. The hyenas will howl. And the citadels and the jackals in the pleasant place or palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. Chapter 47:7 says, and you said, I shall be a lady forever. Babylon says, I'm going to last forever. So that you did not take these things to heart, nor remember the later end of them. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell securely, who say in your heart, I am and there is no one else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day. The loss of children, of widowhood, They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries and the great abundance of your enchantments. Demons dwelling in Babylon. Demonology. Think of all the places today that practice demonology. White, you know, they practice Santeria. They practice all these things. And it's so sad because you go to Brazil and these places, South America, and they say they're Catholics, but at the same time, they're worshiping demons. How could that be? How can light and darkness go together? When you come to Christ, the Bible says you become a new creature. All things are passed away. So when you get saved, you go through your house and you get rid of anything that is leaven, anything that is evil. Why? Because many times when people get saved, Satan is still harassing people in that house. Harassing people. Maybe your children are there and they have maybe, you know, evil music, and at night when you go to sleep, they're listening to that, or they go on the internet. What's happened is you're allowing Satan to come into your home and oppress your home. Not possess your home, oppress your home. And as parents and as single people, when we come to Jesus Christ, as all things become brand new, what do? We take an inventory of our lives, an inventory of what we possess, and then we get rid of the Ouija boards. We get rid of anything that's satanic, including music, and then begin to worship God in spirit and in truth. You see, Babylon here becomes the place and the habitation of the underworld. Who's the underworld? Satan and all his demons. They're going to be there in Babylon. And we see that these demons will be present in the great tribulation period. In the river, Euphrates River, they're going to be let out and they're going to go out. And remember what I said before? There are going to be people that for 5 months, death will escape. You take a gun, you put it next to your brain, you pull the trigger, you blow your head off, but you can't die. You can't die. Your spirit will not depart from your body. 5 months, the Bible says. It's going to be one of the most horrible times you have ever seen in the history of the world. And that's why John here is warning in chapter 18, before we get to chapter 19, where now we see the beginning of heaven. Look what he says in verse 3. For all the nations, not nation, all the nations have drunk of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. It's not just a few nations, the whole world has drank of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. The world came to Babylon to become what? To become rich. All of the goods that she had in Babylon. You see, John here is dealing with the economics of this world, political Babylon, that is going to be powerful in the tribulation period. And yet we notice here that the commercial Babylon affects not just one nation. The whole world will be connected because the Antichrist will do what? He will govern over the whole world. Over the whole world. Verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out from her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. So he tells us here there's going to be Christians, believers in the tribulation period. They came to Christ in the tribulation period. And the Lord is saying, come out, don't get involved with her. Come out from her. Remember in Paul's letter, 1 Corinthians, he talks about coming out of the world. Be you separate, saith the Lord. Because as Christians today, if we're still involved in the world, of course, we have to have a job in the world. You know, there's many things that we have to do in the world, but when we become part of the world and part of the system of the world and we begin to join in with the world, then we become messed up. We become infected. And that's when people begin to have problems spiritually. That's why many people don't come to church anymore. They're involved in the world. The world has won them over. Why would you want to go back to Egypt when you came out of Egypt, and in Egypt you were dying? You were dying, like the children of Israel. They came out of Egypt, 430 years in Egypt. Moses delivers them, they leave Egypt, and the first thing when they cross over to the other side, crossing the Red Sea, what do they say? Man, I wish we were back in Egypt. Well, we had watermelons, we had melons, we had leeks and all. I said, really? They were in bondage. They were being beaten. They were oppressed, depressed. And many times when we come to Christ, we forget our past. Our past was black and ugly. I would never, ever want to go back to my past. When we came to Jesus Christ, he says he took our past and he made it whiter than snow through his blood. Through his blood, he forgave us all of our sins. And the reason that so many people like Babylon go back to Babylon is because they're not reading, they're not praying, they're not fellowshipping. They're being influenced by people that are in the world, and they want to take you into the world, and instead of you being an effect on them and bringing them out of the world, they're pulling you into the world. Greater is he that is in me than he that is of the world. The church has become weak. That's why so many people are involved in the world today. It's so sad to see people that came to Calvary many years ago and to run into them and they're not walking with the Lord. Satan is powerful. Powerful. He's come to rob and to steal and to kill. And if we know that, imagine how much more I need to be on my face, on my knees before the Lord every single day so that God can protect me from the evil of the world. And here we see again in verse 4, you know, that God is urging the Jews to dislocate from Babylon, to suck into the Gentile Jews. Hey, get out of Babylon. Don't get involved in Babylon. Make sure you're separating yourself. And then notice the will that God has for them is to protect them. God wants to protect them. And we notice here that the angel says, my people, because what? They're representing God. When we talk about being a Christian, we're representing who? Christ. They were representing God. And we also notice that God can do nothing until the tribulation saints come out of the world. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back after the tribulation, after Armageddon? The book of Matthew chapter 25 tells us that he's going to take, when he comes back, those in his right hand were as sheep, and those in his left hand there are goats. And the ones that are on his right hand that are sheep, these will be the ones to be able to go into the kingdom age for 1,000 years. But those on his left hand will be cast into the Gehenna. Into Gehenna. And God will give another opportunity. Why? Because the church comes back at the second coming to the battle of Armageddon. We go into the kingdom age and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We'll have our new bodies. But those that go into the kingdom, they're going to have physical bodies. They're going to have natural deaths. They're going to repopulate the earth. Satan immediately will be placed into the bottomless pit and he'll be locked up for 1,000 years. And at the end of 1,000 years, God is going to test those people that have repopulated the earth. And he's going to open the pit one more time, and Satan will come out, and he'll go out and deceive all these people that were with Jesus for 1,000 years, and then they turn against Jesus. The evilness of the heart, the power of Satan. Right now, this world is possessed by Satan. He owns this world. That's why Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross. And we looked at Revelation chapter 4 and 5, where there's no one worthy to take the title deed to the earth, only one, and that was Jesus. Adam and Eve lost it to Satan. Satan possessed it, and now Jesus Christ takes it to himself. And then what happens? Satan, one more time, is led out before he's cast into the lake of fire with the Antichrist, the false prophet, and every demon, and every person that was in hell, and every person whose name was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. something to think about for our loved ones and our friends. Then we also notice here that God can do nothing again until the church is out or the Christians are out in the tribulation period. Verse 5. For her sins, Babylon, for her sins have reached the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Did you know that sin goes into the presence of God? God can not only see sin. One of the things I tell people, because they don't really understand, is that you can't hide from God. Where are you going to hide? He's omnipresent. He sees, he hears everything. He watches everything that we do. And if truly the presence of God is before us all the time, shouldn't we watch what we do? Shouldn't we watch what we say? Or watching? If we get that in our minds, that God's presence is constantly before us, we would be a different church. We would be a different people. But because we can't see him, we think that's way up in heaven, and he can't see and he can't hear. But he's omnipresent. You know what I see here in verse 5? God's patience. That God's patience now is exhausted. This is it. I've had it. And now he's going to judge. Judgment now is about to come to fall upon Babylon. Look at verse 6. He says, render to her just as she rendered to you. Repair her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. So the judgment to her will be double. Why? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. We see that here with Babylon. Babylon has sown evil. And now she is going to reap to that evil. Just like anybody in the world. Babylon was committed to the Antichrist program, but now she's going to be destroyed. Verse 7. In the measure that she glorified herself in living luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow. Notice the pride like Satan. Satan dwelling over Babylon. The household of demonology. And here, God knows what is in the heart of Babylon. Just like God knows what's in your heart and what's in my heart. She says, I sit as a queen. I sit as a queen. What is that showing? Not only the pride that she's demonstrating to the world, but she's already on her way to judgment, and she doesn't see the judgment that is coming. She's so blind. And yet, number one, Babylon has been not only proud, she now will be humbled by God. I've seen God humble people so, I've been humbled by God too. Many times when we get proudful and we start thinking that we're something, God has ways of humbling each one of us individually. So that we don't keep our eyes on ourselves, but when he humbles you, you got to look up because you're going to be on your back. God knows exactly how to do it. And even now, Babylon has not only enjoyed the glory of luxury, she's now to be brought very low, torment and mourning. She's going to be mourning. Look at verse 8. Therefore, because of these things, her plagues will come in one day, death, mourning, famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. Notice what he's saying here, that there will be death, mourning, famine, and fire upon Babylon. Verse 9, the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. You see, they loved going to Babylon. That's where they found everything that was evil. And now that everything evil is taken away from them, they start begin to weep. Now they can't be entertained. Now they can't sin as they wanted to sin. So the kings of the earth lament. They weep and lament. Verse 10. standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." Can you imagine the power of God in 1 hour? He could do it in 1 second. But in 1 hour, he destroys Babylon. Verse 11, "And the merchants of the world will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys her merchandise anymore." She was the one to supply the whole world with merchandise. Merchandise, probably drugs, alcohol, all kinds of different things. And the merchants of the world came. It was party, you know. There was a city of party all the time. You go there to party. And notice that the merchants begin to weep again. Verse 12. He says, "Merchandise of gold, silver, precious stones, pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble." You know, many have said that, you know, New York City, in that area, they call it Babylon. They call it Babylon because the way it's said there, you know, from all over Europe, they come there. But literally, Babylon will be the place even where Satan not only dwells. And one day, as you look at Iraq, one day, it's going to be rebuilt. Rebuilt. The Antichrist will do that because that will be the place where he will dwell, notice, for the last 7 years of world history. Verse 13. Notice all the things they have. Cinnamon, incense, fragments of oil, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, bodies of souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. God's done with it. It's a done deal. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. And then in verse 15, "The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at the distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing." So they'll be out looking at Babylon from the sea, and probably through satellite, watching on television how God has come to judge Babylon. Babylon is burning, coming to an end. No one can travel to it. Nobody can go in and out of Babylon. Financially, she is broke. Materially, she is broke. Some have said that the fire that falls upon Babylon could be a nuclear device. A nuclear device that was sent there by one of the armies. But it says that God will bring fire and brimstone. Verse 16. And saying this, "Alas, alas, that great city who was clothed with fine linen, purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. For 1 hour such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster, all who traveled by ship, sailors, and as many as trade on the sea stood at a distance. And they cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is this like great city? What is like this great city? There's no other city like Babylon.' And now it's destroyed." In chapter 8, verse 9, remember of Revelations, one third of the ships will be totally destroyed in the ocean. When we went back there to study it, he says, verse 19, "They threw dust on their heads. They cried out, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city which all who had ships of the sea became rich by her wealth. For in 1 hour she is made totally desolate.'" It's a done deal. And then check this out, verse 20. "Rejoice over her." God says, rejoice over what she was. Now she is gone forever. "Rejoice over her, O heavens, and you, holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you of her." Now, this kind of brought something to my mind. Could it be possible, and I'm not saying it is, could it be possible that those in heaven, he says what? "Holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you of her." that they could be aware of what's going on as God's judgment comes. Look what it says. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God now has avenged you of her, of Babylon. Verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone. Those of you that went to Israel with us, remember in Capernaum? As you go into Capernaum to the synagogue, there's a huge, huge millstone. I mean, it's huge. Imagine putting that millstone around your neck like Jesus and then cast yourself into the ocean for those that stumble, any child. Think about that. And here God is saying that a mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down. Notice, if the millstone is tied to it, it sinks to the bottom. He says, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall never ever be found anymore. Wow. Never ever again will you see her. Babylon is done. Never again will you ever see Babylon. And then, verse 22, finally. The sound of the harpists, musicians, flutists, trumpeters shall not be heard in you anymore. Notice that. The music of the world is done. All the ungodly music is done. And then he says this. He says, Nor shall the craftsmen shall be seen anymore. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Lord sees these people and they come to that place in their own personal lives and the Lord says, enough is enough. Why is it that people today cannot see that? That the hand of God is getting ready to strike. Ready to strike the earth. And the only reason he hasn't come and judged, and the judgment of God has not come, because the church is still here. But once the church is taken out, all hell will break loose. I surely would not want to be here in the tribulation period, even as a believer. I'd rather be a believer today and to be taken out of this world and to be in the presence of God and to be with Him forever and ever and ever. The only way out of the tribulation period, remember, you have to be beheaded by the Antichrist. And there will be many that will not be beheaded, and they will live through the tribulation period. Imagine what it will be like for believers to see what's going on. The torture of God's judgment upon the world. I would pray this evening that as we come to the end of chapter 18, that we not only pray for our loved ones, our children, our grandbabies, but maybe someone that you know that has rejected the gospel. Or maybe someone that has backslidden. They've backslidden completely. That you start praying and fasting for them. So that God can not only begin to convict them and bring them back to the truth, so they can come back to the light out of darkness. And this is why Peter said, if you ever go back to the world, it's like the dog going back to his own vomit. Or like the pig that has been washed and then released, he goes right back into the mud. This is where a lot of Christians are today. Like the pig and like the dog. May God help us to stay true to Jesus and to stay humble and to continue to pray and to read and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Father, we thank You so much for Your grace and love and mercies, Jesus. Lord, I pray by the power of Your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, I pray for Your people which are called by your name, Lord God. Lord, I pray for those that are suffering. Father, those that are weak. Lord, for those that are going through great trials and tribulations. Lord, touch our lives, Jesus. Be with us, Lord. Father, baptize us with Your love and Your grace and mercies, Jesus. Jesus, we love You. We thank You for everything that You do, You're doing, and You continue to do, Lord God. Lord, we ask You to continue to open doors and to close doors. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray these things, Lord.